Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table on 95.7, The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
But I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
What up, what up, what up? We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean rocking with you on a Tuesday evening, taking your calls all hour long, 888-957-9570. And, of course, later on in the show, we will be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652. Again, that's later on in the show if you want to talk Dubs with Saint and I. Again, that's 888-957-9570. A lot to get to this week. And Saint, of course, first things first, talk about the most recent affair. It was not a good one. 125-85. The largest home loss for Golden State in 40 years, and it was close for about 7 to 8 minutes, and then the final 40 were, shall we say, tough to watch.
Kev, you know, in the course of the season, you're going to have games like this, and because there's 82, Steve Kerr could use the phrase post-game that we're just going to flush that thing down the toilet and move forward to the Kings tomorrow night. Chicago back home, and then the Lakers coming in. And you got to understand the opponent, and there's a lot of dynamics on that Celtic team. And you're undermanned. And when you're playing a defending champs, and you know, you're shooting terrible. I mean, in the first quarter, they had 7 assists and were playing pretty solid ball. But they couldn't make a shot. Like 1 for 16, I think, at one point for three. And this is a championship team. So it hurts, but, you know, those things happen and you got to move forward.
So let me tell you a little story about this game from my perspective. Saying I watched this game on DVR well after it happened. I didn't know the score. I was doing the Santa Cruz Warriors game, which was at the same time. And my first hint that this was not going to be a fun game to watch is that I saw that it taped for 2 hours and 35 minutes, and I'm thinking to myself, well, usually it'll tape, you know, it goes longer, you know, if it goes past the extended time. And so, like, usually a DVR game is like 3 hours long on my DVR. It's like, this isn't good, especially since TNT has longer commercial breaks than just a regional NBC Sports Bay Area game. This game can't be that close. And then when I start the DVR, it's still on the Minnesota-Memphis game. And by the time that game ends, there's only 2 hours and 23 minutes left on the file. And saying, I'm like, uh-oh, this is really not going to be a fun one to watch.
That's a good story. I like that.
Yeah, but you mentioned the horrendous shooting start, and you're right on, Saint. They started 1 of 16 from 3, and as you mentioned, you just really can't survive a cold stretch when you're down as many guys as Golden State was in this game. I mean, it's great to have Stephen Curry, but no Kuminga, no Draymond, no Kyle Anderson, no Pajemski. That's a lot of rotation pieces you're missing. And oh yeah, you're going up against the defending champs.
Frankly, Kev, it's remarkable to me that Steph can even find any open shots. And, you know, picks by bigs, his great ball handling, early offense, movement without the ball. But, you know, listen, that board in the visitor's locker room, 3 underlines under the word Curry. Double team him. Do whatever you have to. Because we're not worried about these other guys beating us because so many guys are out. And when you can't get stops and you can't get in the open floor and the game slows down and it's half court, that plays into the hands of the opponent.
So the last time the Warriors lost like this at home was January 15th, 1985, a 40-plus point loss at home to the Dallas Mavericks, 149-104. Sam Gordon pointed this out in his San Francisco Chronicle article. I was looking through some of these names because I'm sure you know some of these names, but the Mavericks started Brad Davis, Mark Aguirre. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, guess.
Rolando Blackman?
You got it.
I loved him. Aguirre, you said Davis. How about, who's the guy who had all the drug? Tarpley?
Tarpley was not on there. Their team.
David? What about Donaldson?
Donaldson,
I'm thinking
no.
of centers. Okay, keep going. I'm going to okay. chuckle listening to this.
Jay Vincent. And
oh, yeah.
Kurt
good player.
Nymphius.
Michigan.
Kurt Nymphius.
Derek
Harper, Sam Perkins, Dale Ellis off the bench. So
there you go.
That's a pretty good team. Golden State started Purvis Short, Jerome Whitehead, Sleepy Floyd, Larry Smith, and Lester Connor. The head coach was Johnny Bock, who was later an assistant for the Bulls when they won their first three titles with MJ.
Johnny Bock, decorated Marine, World War II, coached a long time at Fordham, and became close with Alvin Attles, and then went with the Bulls. And he and Tex Winter were like your offensive defensive coordinators for Phil Jackson when he won the first three championships. Terrific guy.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure as I was reading up on his bio, I'm like, oh, Saint had to run into Johnny Bock.
Oh, knew him well. A lot of respect.
Nice. Well, taking it back to this game, let's hear from Steph Curry. This is what he had to say after the game about the Celtics' swagger and perhaps the Warriors' lack of.
Yeah, we have an entirely different roster pretty much, obviously, especially without Draymond out there. But you look across, you know, they have, besides Porzingis, they have pretty much their whole rotation still. So, and they are the defending champs, so they're coming in with the level of, you know, confidence and swagger about them. And it's the exact opposite of what we have right now. So, yeah, obviously great memories, but definitely feels like a long time ago.
Hey, Kev, I can't remember the last time that Steph just came to the podium with his game jersey on and came out right away and just wanted to get it over with. And yeah. Just get in there and get a shower and take it on home to the family. That's just a long night. And
yeah.
Nobody likes it. And when I look at the lineup, you got to get a big game, for example, out of Wiggins. He goes 1-for-11. Davis has been playing really well. He didn't have much to offer to you. Schroeder, Heald, there wasn't much there. So there wasn't many bright lights. Our Boston College guy, Post, had pretty good game. But
yeah.
Beyond that, there's not a lot of accolades to pass around. On the opposite side of the ledger, I give Brown and Tatum a lot of credit. They just played within themselves. There was no underlying feelings about the Olympics. They just went out there and did their jobs. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people know I grew up back there. And I cheer for the Celtics probably every game they play except when they play the Lakers and the Warriors. So having Porzingis back is big, and when you watch White and Holiday, those guys are stone cold winners. And then you got the other guys, Tatum and Brown, who are future Hall of Famers. Porzingis is a big difference maker. Still got Al Horford, and the guy that I love, holy moly, I love Pritchard.
Yeah.
That guy. This is about player development. And a player willing to really work in the offseason to get stronger and shoot it better and get quicker. And this has got to happen for the Warriors. They've got to get guys that are committed like that, because the days of getting three quality players in a trade or something like that, that's not happening, because trades are hard to make right now with the salary cap. Mm-hmm. So Boston's right in it, but OKC and Cleveland have something to say too.
Yeah, I mean, Saint, you're talking about how good Boston is, their talent up and down the roster. I'm curious, you've been in these situations, having been a coach and a GM, where you go from playing a really bad team one night to playing a really good team the next night. Did playing Washington on Saturday make this game even tougher for Golden State?
I don't think as much as if the Warriors had a rout, but it was a pretty close game.
Yeah,
you give Washington credit. You know, Poole comes back. I'm a Kuzma guy, and Valanciunas, and they're fighting. but their roster is just not real good. And the fact they kept close on the road, I thought was respectable. So from that standpoint, my answer would be no, because you got really tested and get ready for a great team coming in the game after that.
Yeah, it's something that I was thinking of. I'm like, well, you go for playing a team that's 6-35 to playing the defending champions. And Boston hasn't been playing great as of late. They're now 9-8 in their last 17. But they are still the Boston Celtics, and they looked every bit like the defending champs. Now, curious, before we go to break, because this was on MLK Day, it's become a big part of the NBA calendar. There were 8 games yesterday. There's traditionally a game in Memphis, a game that the Atlanta Hawks play in, so on and so forth. But what do you take away from the significance of MLK Day in the NBA calendar? This is, I think they said, the 39th year that the NBA has had games on MLK Day. And what experiences have you had, coaching or GMing on MLK Day games?
Well, there's some beautiful messages that are sent by players, organizations, fans, and it's about the respect that you have, and you donate your service and help others. And it's not, and the message from Dr. King was, it's not too difficult to do the right thing. Do the right thing. Treat people with respect. Be nice. That's just a quality that resonates. And I feel privileged to have been with 3 commissioners, with Larry O'Brien, who was from Springfield, Massachusetts, and David Stern and Adam Silver. And this started more in David's tenure. And I was fortunate, really, Kev, to be with the Bucks in the late 70s and 80s. And ironically, all 4 of the officers for the Players Association were on the Bucks. Bob Lanier, Hall of Famer, was the president. Junior Bridgman was the vice president. He only owns now 160 Wendy's.
That's all?
Quinn Buckner, who played at Indiana for Bobby Knight, outstanding career, longtime announcer for the Indiana Pacers, was the treasurer. And then we got Steve Mix in a trade from Philadelphia, and he came with us, and I think he was like secretary or something. But my point is that these guys had a voice, and the NBA, much to me back in the old days, I'd still say now, is all about the togetherness of the NBA. We're proud of it, that we work together. And it isn't just the owners dominating the players. It's about working together and everybody having a voice. And nobody better back in the day than Bill Russell. He knew Martin Luther King very well. I was privileged to know all those Celtic guys because of Don Nelson and Wayne Embry. And back in the day, Red Auerbach was the coach. They're playing in South Carolina, an exhibition game. And the hotel said that all the black players couldn't stay there. And Russell was upset. And he told Red that they weren't going to play. And Red said, I completely agree with you. And, Red was the first coach or general manager to have an all-black starting lineup. He was one of the first guys to draft a black player. And after Russell and this group, who were so strong and helpful to the journey, you had Kareem, who was a very intelligent guy who spoke beautifully about people and the togetherness that's needed. And I think the NBA is a great example of it. I watch players and, I watch the fans and everybody interact, and we're not hung up on how much money you got or what your race is or all those kind of things. We want to have an enjoyable, fun time together. And I think it speaks so highly about the NBA.
Yeah, that's some great stuff. Thank you for sharing, Saint. Now, we're going to keep it with you here a little bit longer before we send it to break. So, it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. So call the contest line at 415-415. 523-4652. If you are caller number 7, you'll get a pair of tickets. We'll announce the winner later on. We'll be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. One more thing on the Celtics game. I'm curious to get your thoughts. You talked about the personnel and how much you like the guys and how Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have made it work. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on the Celtics style of play, because I feel like I've heard from a lot of people this year how much they bemoan Boston shooting around 53s a game and kind of like rolling in their grave kind of comments. I personally don't have an issue with it. Like, the G League got me prepared for seeing a ton of threes. It's whatever to me, but for someone who's been around the game as long as you have, what do you think of this approach from the Celtics?
Well, they've taken it to the nth level now. I never thought I'd see the day that somebody was shooting 53s. And, you know, it's all about the analytics. The key for this team, though, for them to have another chance to repeat, is when they're really locked in defensively, because they have the potential to be terrific. They've got four guys that can all switch on the perimeter. They've got the bigs that are smart defenders, and Porzingis and Horford. They've even got Cornette and the bench, you know, with Hauser and Pritchard. They've got all the pieces. And you know what? That's the way they want to play. I would like to say this. I'd be an advocate of not everybody playing the same way. Do it the way that's the best for your team to succeed.
Dilly dilly.
Some teams may have the perimeter shooting, but some don't. So don't get married to the three-point line. Play from inside out and penetrate more to the paint. Don't think that a two-point shot is a terrible, terrible thing. You know, we play the Kings tomorrow, and a guy that I love up there who's finding his game like he's had it for years is DeRozan, the best mid-range guy in the league. Listen, kudos to the C's. You know, they're going to have a great season. But I don't know if I'd love watching that every single night.
Okay. Do you feel like they are the favorites, or have you, what you've seen from Oklahoma City or Cleveland this year, have they moved ahead of Boston in your likeliness to win an NBA title?
Yeah, you know, both those guys, especially OKC, have been tested. Cleveland, not as much. New coach. He's incorporating a lot of Warrior principles in what they do offensively. They've improved so much on that end. And I'm going to say that you're going to have to prove me wrong. I think that at the end of the day, the Celtics will be the second slotted team. They wouldn't meet Cleveland till the end. I just don't believe that Milwaukee, the Knicks, Indiana, like these other teams are going to knock them off. And frankly, right now, OKC's driving the bus in the West. So we got a long, long way to go. But I always have the standings next to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. It's fun to standings watch right now. The Warriors in the middle of that play-in kind of muddled group at 21-21. It was their first game of the second half of the season on Monday. Their last game of the first half of the season was on Saturday, when the Dubs really escaped with a win over the Washington Wizards. It was their 26th clutch game of the season. That's second in the NBA behind Minnesota's 28. So they're 13-13 in clutch games this year. Minnesota's just 12-16 in Saint. I mean, the Wizards were absolutely on fire in the first half, and you knew eventually they'd come back to earth because they're the worst rated offense, but boy, did they make Golden State sweat it out.
It really did, and that's why maybe the Celtics, I don't see OKC taking nights off. They defend every night. But this league, you never know. Any night, some team can get really, really hot and knock teams off. You know, I looked last night, you know, the Bulls are on a road trip. You're saying, well, the Clippers are playing terrific. They got Leonard back. They're going to take care of business. No. Dallas, they're playing Charlotte, I think. No. And I'm looking around the league, and these teams that are in the bottom, they scare you. You know, I think Portland had a good game last night, and I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, You preach this to your team, but Kev, you know this is the mid-season doldrums. And you got to find ways as a player and as a coach to reach out to your team to get them to understand these games mean as much as the early season games and the late season games. They count the same. So the teams that can really bring it, they give themselves a heck of a lot better chance in the standings.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, game 43 counts just as much as game 82 in the standings. They're all 1/82nd of your schedule, if you will. So, hey, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of performances in that game. Andrew Wiggins, yes, he did not play well against Boston. He was 1-for-11, as Saint mentioned. Absolute dud. But against the Wizards, 31 points, yeah. 11 rebounds, and it was his third straight game after returning to the lineup that he went for 20-plus points. They get more of that kind of Andrew Wiggins, the guy who just kind of attacks relentlessly, can just force his way to the foul line like you saw against Minnesota in the win before the Washington game. This Wiggins, for the vast majority of this season, he's looked much more like his 21-22 and 22-23 pre-absence for his father's illness, Wiggins, than the one we saw last year.
It's imperative that he has a very good year. Very good. I feel scoring-wise, he probably has to be the third guy and some nights the second guy. And you hope that Kuminga come back within the next couple of weeks from the high ankle sprain. Those are your two guys right there. And sure, you miss Draymond's play on both ends of the floor. Podzimski's toughness. And I can go on and on. You know, Peyton comes back. I can feel him out there. But this team isn't whole. And I don't care who you are. If you are really banged up, it's hard. You're going to have a couple weeks of really struggling. But, you know, you find out. You and I have been talking about Moody, and it looks like they like to play him more at four, which I find kind of interesting, and maybe they think they've got a little log jam there at three. You know, the guy who's played well over the last couple weeks, I think, has been Looney. And that's a pro's pro. You know, he wasn't playing much at all, and then he got back in the rotation. And I just think he's a great example for the young guys. You know, this guy's been part of championships. He really knows how to play the game. I think he's gotten his body in great shape. His rebounds per minute are really good. We all know his ability to switch on defense. Now, I'm counting on him as we go forward here to play well. And, you know, you always love talking about the G League guys, and your man Santos, he did a respectable job last night. So when you look at this thing, you need this team to be whole. And that's such a big key. And hopefully in the next couple weeks here, that'll come together and you can ride this thing out and get a win here and there and keep believing.
It sounds like Brandon Podziemski is nearing a return. Then you heard Steve Kerr on Willard and Dibbs. It does not sound like Jonathan Kuminga is that close to return. Of course, he'll be reevaluated, I think, about a week from now or so. It will be 3 weeks from when he went out.
You know those high ankle sprains.
Yeah, man, not fun to deal with.
You know what it is? It's the heavy-duty swelling above the ankle bone. You can deal with ones that are down below, but when you get them up there, it just does a job on you in terms of flexibility and strength. It takes a long time to come back.
Shout out to Thomas in San Francisco. He is our winner for a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Of course, we will be doing this all year long for a Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. You were talking about Kevon Looney. He's had some big rebounding games, well, really the last few years of his career. But how about Trayce Jackson-Davis? He had 15 rebounds in that Washington win. He had 15 rebounds the game before as well against Minnesota. He has had 10-plus rebounds in four of his last five heading into the Boston game. Did not get 10 rebounds in that one. But he was hanging around 5 rebounds per game. He's up to 6.5 recently. And while he's had some struggles finishing around the rim, he certainly cleaned up the glass well. What have you noticed from Trayce recently?
You know, I've read that he's spending time with the assistant coaches, and they're talking about angles to rebound, you know, positioning to box out, how to get some offensive rebounds, understanding to cut your body in half and knife in there. You know, I think back to Paul Silas, who I loved as a player and a coach, and he was one of the greatest ever on the offensive board. Grew up in Oakland, went to McClyman's. And he had a knack to go to the offensive board. He'd take a baseline route, and then he'd knife in there to get on the glass. And there's a lot of tricks to the trade. You know, in the NBA game, the usage of your hands and being able to control a guy's arms. You get on top of his arms and control him from his elbows. You know, there's just a lot of little tricks to the trade. And I just think he's a willing learner. I think he wants to get better and play better. And I think he's going to get better finishing inside. But if he wants to stay on the floor, if that young man will get a board every 3 minutes, he's going to have a lot of minutes.
Yeah, no, agreed there. And he, at one point, was shooting well above 70% from the field, so we know that he can finish. But we're going to take a break, come on back, talk a little bit about the Jordan Poole aspect of this Wizards game, talk about Draymond's injury, and we'll look forward to the Chicago Bulls, Sacramento Kings back-to-back, and more right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Anna, Gary St. Jean with you, rocking with you on a Tuesday night until 7 p.m. 888-957-9570 if you want to talk Warriors shooty hoop with Gary St. Jean and myself. Talking about this Wizards game, we do have to mention Jordan Poole. The former Dub went off against his former team. 38-5-5, 8-15 from deep. For a while, it looked like he was going to surpass his career high of 43 for a while, but St., so far this year, Jordan Poole having a really nice year. Career highs in scoring, 21.6 points, assists, 4.7, and three-point percentage, 41%. Look, I know it has been a dark, dark season in the win-loss column for Washington, but Jordan Poole has looked really solid this year.
Yeah, he was the beneficiary of a big contract here. And, you know, I like the way both sides handled this thing. He didn't bring out any animosity. He just shared that he loved a lot of guys here in that locker room, and he just shared that, you know, some maybe not as much. And we know where that's directed, to Draymond. And Draymond apologized through some sort. I don't know that he talked to him, but I think he shared the message. And I think that's good. It's healthy. And you got to move forward. And you know, in Poole's case, his assist numbers are pretty good because I don't think he's got many guys to throw the ball to that can shoot it. So that's not bad. And we know he's capable of big, big scoring games. He's a really streaky player. And I think he's found a home there. He's happy being at the point position. And good for him. You know, he left here, and it was tough. But he was part of a championship team, a key piece. And in Draymond's case, he admitted his mistakes. He's man enough to do that, and I respect that about him.
All right, so you mentioned the comments. This is what Jordan Poole had to say about his time with the Warriors and coming back. He said, "I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys over there. Yeah, a really good group, a really good staff." And he went on, talked about the fans. And so the first two sentences, "I love those guys over there, I love most of those guys over there," were tweeted by Mark Spears. And Draymond responded to that tweet saying, "I really am sorry." So is this much ado about nothing, or is it something?
Well, it's history, and it's going to be there. Every time they play each other, it's going to be talked about. I don't care what you say. And I just like the way both sides handle it. Each year it gets maybe a little bit better, and that's really something to grow on.
So the other side of this equation, Draymond Green, now he's out for at least a week. He has the mild calf strain. He will be reevaluated next Monday, so they'll be without him for at least four games, including yesterday against Boston. Really five games because he only played the first 3 minutes against the Washington Wizards. So they have Sacramento, Chicago, and the Lakers before he is reevaluated. And really his presence sorely missed, obviously, against in these two games. And I really don't think that game is nearly as tight against the Wizards if he didn't leave 3 minutes in. Just at some point you feel like his defensive intensity and his intensity in general would be like, guys, we cannot lose to the Washington Wizards. It cannot be close against the Washington Wizards down the stretch. But he can just bring a force, Saint, that others simply can't. And Golden State's going to have to make up for that in some way.
You know, we've talked many a night about Draymond's competitive nature, his love for the game. I just, his basketball IQ on both ends of the floor is absolutely exceptional. And it's winning basketball. And he sorely missed. There isn't any doubt about it. And he helps the young guys. I think he's brought a refreshed attitude this year. And I see it on the floor, on the bench, timeouts, whatever. And I sure hope he can get back because he's such a key piece to this whole equation.
Yeah, he's been really solid in 34 games this year. Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean with you on Warriors Roundtable until 7 p.m. If you want to talk to us, hit us up 888-957-9570. Again, shout out to Thomas in San Francisco for winning that pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Before we go to break, I do want to spend a few minutes on a certain Santa Cruz Warrior and a guy who, Saint, you've seen play before. You saw him in Summer League, Kevin Knox, because last night...
good point.
Yesterday afternoon, he tied his career high in the G League with 39 points in a loss to the Stockton Kings. And this is one game after he went for 30 against Mexico City. So over his last two games, he has 69 points on 41 shots. And he, to me, is an NBA player, no doubt about it. This guy was taken ninth overall in 2018. And my issue, and look, you've been a scout, you've been a GM, you've been a coach, you have forgotten more basketball, Saint, than I will ever know. So I need you to correct me maybe on my line of thinking here. But Kevin Knox, 6 years ago, was an all-rookie player in the NBA. And there is no way he is not better now than he was 6 years ago when he was 19. There's just no way that he hasn't become significantly better at 25 when he's closer to his prime. I don't know what his deficiencies were. I have been told, you know, in a non-interview setting that he has been a good locker room guy for the Santa Cruz Warriors, so it's not like some attitude issue. But you can't bury someone who is in his teens, early 20s, and just be done with them as a league. I don't understand it because, all right, maybe the Warriors aren't going to call him up, but some team needs to because he should not be playing in the G League.
Well, he's an injury away from being called up. Somebody's going to have need a wing player. And Kev, sometimes, what is this, his sixth year? You get labeled. And he was a high pick and a quality scorer. But, you know, I can remember way back when people questioned his total game. It was more about making shots than the rest of the game, you know, in the offensive end of the floor. And defensively, a little suspect, but that can be said about a lot of guys. I give this young guy just a ton of credit. He could be playing over in Bulgaria or Greece or Turkey and making a nice payday and keep playing over there. We can go on and on. Some guys have had long, quality careers over there and financially make out very, very well, but this shows me that he believes in himself. And you and I, doing those TV games in the summer, we saw some flashes. This guy can put the ball in the hoop. And I'm kind of confident something good's going to happen for him. But this gosh darn salary cap and the collective bargaining agreement and the two-way contracts and all that kind of thing, I hope that doesn't stand in the way from him getting a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point you bring up about the two-way contracts, because he is not eligible for a two-way contract.
Right.
He can only have 4 years of NBA experience or less. And he has played 6 years in the NBA, so he is not two-way eligible. You talk about how a guy gets labeled, and I mean, it's very true. Guys get labeled. But to label a guy at 22, 23 years old and to think that that's just how he's going to be, I think is kind of an incorrect way that scouts, I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in general, how the NBA community thinks about players who are so young and still like 5 years away from their prime.
Well, that's what makes great scouting staffs, great organizations, that you come back and you say, you know, I was scheduled to see that guy, and boy, he played really well for me. We got to take another look, and maybe we have another guy go take a look, and we see him against a certain team, and we say, okay. And then you have your board where injuries take place, and you have those guys rated down there at each position around the league, and you say, okay, if I was to lose a wing player and I needed some scoring, would he be a guy? Would I have him at the one ranking? And you do that consistently with preparation. You have your college scouts, you have European scouts, and G League is big. Guys are really on that now. And you have conversations. I'm sure now Steve's son, I bet, is getting calls about him and saying, hey, what kind of guy is he, you know? And is he really in it every day, and does he have a great attitude and all that kind of thing? And, you know, if there's a whole bunch of positives and he's playing well, something good's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, Nicholas Kerr better be getting a lot of calls about this guy. He has been just impossible to stop recently in the G League. We're going to take a break. Dre in Oakland, hold on. We will get to you on the other side of the timeout here on 95.7 The Game, taking your calls and talking about the upcoming schedule and talking to Dre in Oakland right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Back here on 95.7 The Game, taking your calls for the next 10 to 15 minutes or so. And we head out to the phone lines again. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. Let's hear from Dre in Oakland. Dre, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to run something by you with the Warriors. You guys were talking about some guys and some lineups. There's one lineup that I haven't really seen yet, and I think the Warriors should try it. I want to get you guys' thoughts on it, of a lineup of putting Wiggs at the two next to Steph Curry, knowing that, you know, Curry played really well with Klay Thompson as a big next to him. Kuminga running the three, Draymond four, and I'm always a Loon guy, but you can go Looney or Trace Jackson Davis at the five. I mean, that I think that allows you to keep Draymond and Steph, you know, getting too banged up without taking them off the floor, right, and allow them to stretch their season. And then, you know, you can kind of throw the bench out there, you know, as you want, and run. You can tell Kuminga he's going to go almost Iron Man, right? He's young. He can do it. And run the pick and roll with like a Schroeder, you know, coming off the bench. I don't think I've seen that lineup yet at any consistent rate, and I just think it's something we should try. I wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Well, Dre, I love your thought. And Kev, you're going to help me with this. I think early in the season, they played that some. And I like it a lot. Now, there was a debate. Obviously, Wiggins been more of a three. But there was a debate that the Kuminga's best position was a four. And, you know, he thinks he's a three. And so you put him over there at three. And by playing a big alongside a Draymond, whether it's Looney or Davis, it lessens the burden on him. And it's sure worth trying again. I don't have any issues at all with that. And Kev, help me here. You've got a great memory. I think they tried that for a while, and they were concerned about whether they had enough shooting on the floor. But it's big, and I like it.
That was the concern. I am on NBA.com, and Dre, thank you for the call. That's a very good call. And I'm looking through all their five-man lineups, trying to see if they have played that and how frequently they play it. Because I do think that was tried at some point, but I'm just looking for confirmation. All right, it's not on page one of five. There are apparently 250 different five-man combinations that Golden State has played this year. So this might take a while. The concern was how well would this group shoot. But Draymond's been mid to high 30s from three much of the year.
Yeah.
Kuminga has shot it better from three as the season has gone on. Wiggins has had a very solid three-point shooting season. And so really, you'd only not be getting shooting from the five position with either Trace or Kevon. So I think it's certainly a lineup that has its merits. Unfortunately, I do not have the data to back this up one way or another. I'm still looking through this. I'm going to try to go to the end of the page. But, yeah, no, that's definitely a lineup worth considering. I am,
Kev, you know,
I'm not going to be able to find it right
say,
now.
To Dre's point, that's probably putting your five best players on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes
I don't know who anybody else would debate to put in there.
Yeah.
But for me, that's the best five.
Yeah, I'm not going to debate you there. Now, of course, the problem with that is two of those guys are not healthy right now.
Yeah.
So you can't try it for at least probably another couple weeks.
Couple weeks.
So, but maybe in February, that's something that the Warriors go to. But, Dre, thank you very much for the call. So it's the Sacramento Kings on Wednesday, and Sacramento has won 9 out of 10. You wonder, well, they got pounded by the Bucks. Maybe that had slowed their roll a little bit. Uh-uh. Coming off wins over the Houston Rockets, that was a great game on TNT. Then took care of the Washington Wizards. You mentioned DeMar DeRozan. I love the call from Adam Amin when he's with the Chicago Bulls, hit like back-to-back game-winning buzzer beaters. He said, "DeMar DeRozan delivers," and he really delivered. And I'm curious also to get your opinion on Keon Ellis, because I have a friend who does the Santa Cruz Warriors games with me, the road games, Joaquin Wallace. He's a Sacramento Kings season ticket holder, and his frustration with Mike Brown was that he did not give consistent minutes to Keon Ellis. Now, in January, he's averaging 27 minutes per game, 21 minutes per game for the season, so it was well below 21 before the month of January. He had 6 of 8. He was 6 of 8 from deep against Washington. He's a defensive pest. He was a big reason why the Warriors got blown out in the play-in game last year. And I'm just curious to get your thoughts on his role with this team.
Well, they had some injuries in Mike's tenure this year. And he was one of them that was out. And the rookie Carter was out.
Yes.
Well, to me, those two guys bring you wing defense. And I love DeRozan, Fox, Monk. Those guys are quality players, but they're not great defenders. And then you've got Sabonis, who's having a fantastic year, but you don't get any rim protection from him. The guy that they put on usually the best wing player is Murray, and that wears him down. I was up there to watch two games of the Lakers against the Kings, and he tried to guard LeBron. And by the end of the night, he was all bruised up. But that team right now, boy, you got to really like the way they're playing. And, you know, I've known Doug a long time when we were both doing NBC Sports for the Kings and the Warriors. And I knew him way back when he was playing for Seattle. He's a winner. He was a defender. And I think he understands, I think he's got the players' respect. And he's asking them to play hard. You and I talk about that. Simple. Play hard and compete defensively. And then let's get in the open floor. And then when you can play through Sabonis, that's such a great team to have out there. And now to put icing on the cake, he's making threes, which opens it up for everybody. But I love Ellis out there as a defender. He's made a decent amount of threes this year, and he's a quality athlete. And the kid Carter has a big upside. So when you put the Lyle and maybe Lynn in there, now their bench is a lot better.
Yeah, no, it really is. Devin Carter, he played one G League game after he came back from injury. He had like 29 points, and it was pretty evident. I didn't watch the game, but from all accounts, it was evident that, yeah, he's not going to be in the G League. He just needed one game to get the rust off. It worked, and he's been a nice part of the rotation. So six of the next seven are at home. The only road game is in Sacramento, which is the next game. So then it's a six-game homestand against Chicago, the Lakers, the Jazz, the Suns, the Thunder before that, and the Magic. And outside of the Thunder, really, I mean, these are all games that, now I know Golden State lost by 30 to Sacramento at home, but in theory, all games that the Warriors should have some sort of chance in. And we got a couple minutes left, Saint, but what do you want to see Golden State do over these next seven games? What's realistic for this team?
Well, you got to first start with defense, and it has to be a collective effort. And defending the three ball, and handling all the pick and roll action, and you know, getting out in the open floor, and making some layups, getting to the rim, making yourself feel good. Then the game opens up for you. And when the team was 10-4, 12-4, nobody was the beneficiary of more early offense because of good defense than the Warriors. They did a great job in that aspect of their game. And I'm not promising it's going to get back to that tomorrow, but you know, in the next week or so, you know, well before the All-Star game, get some guys back and being productive, and then getting some better, we saw some good play out of Wiggins. Can we count on it now, 4 out of 5 nights? And, you know, to get Kuminga back, to get Draymond back. And I'll tell you, two guys that have to show a little consistency and just bring it are Schroeder and Hield.
Yeah, exactly.
They're expected to make some shots, make some good plays. And you can't be productive 1 out of 3 or 4 nights. That's why Moody's getting a chance. And Kev, you and I have been preaching about this, and gosh, I'm pulling for that guy. I just like his demeanor out there.
Yeah, and he has had some really nice performances in recent games. So that'll do it for us tonight, folks. A big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass for holding down the fort. Big thank you to RC Davis on the Warriors side of things. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Danasine. Sayonara, and until next time, we will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three. Cha-ching! 48-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.